WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, May 9th, 2017. We are so honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We've got a fun-filled hour of sports talk coming right to your ears, folks. Well, today's Current Sports, we will talk about a big returning player for the Michigan State men's basketball team. If you haven't heard by now, but a certain transfer received a sixth year of eligibility in the world of college hoops. Big news for Tom Izzo and company. We'll tell you who that player is in just a moment. Also, the University of Michigan college football program misses out on New Orleans. Yeah, your hometown, Isaac. Yeah, the NO said no to Coach Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines. What does that mean for Coach Harbaugh, as, of course, his team will yet again go into this whole satellite camp tour for yet another year? We'll update you on that. We will also invite to the show our dear friend from Flint Town, Eric Woodyard, sports reporter for the Flint Journal and MLive.com. Eric will talk about a new merger for Flint Community Schools, the athletic programs merging together. What has led to this move? And we will try to tackle the question, why oh why in the world is youth participation in athletics declining over the years? We'll try to answer that question. I would love to hear from the parents out there, parents who, of course, have kids that are involved with youth athletics, youth sports, or not. We want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I, of course, will read it live here on our airwaves, or even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. And then on the back end of the show, I am excited to bring to you all a conversation centered around the Players Tribune article from former Michigan State wide receiver great, who had a great career in the National Football League as well, Plaxico Burress. I put it actually on my Facebook page. I tweeted it out. What a great article that details his highs and lows throughout his NFL career. We will talk about that. And also, folks, there is now an early college football signing period. Oh, as you see, we're going to try to get to all of that. A loaded show. Our plate runneth over. Let's start this show like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, and we start with big news concerning Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team. Get this. If you haven't heard by now, the NCAA has granted Spartan men's basketball forward Ben Carter a sixth year of eligibility, approving the medical hardship waiver submitted by Michigan State. Carter joined the Spartans as a grad transfer for the 2016-17 season, but suffered a season-ending knee injury in the preseason. Carter will now be eligible for the upcoming year. How cool is that, right? Carter went on to say in the press release, quote, "When I first decided to transfer to MSU, I thought it would be just a quick 8-month stop. I never imagined I would form the strong bonds with my teammates that I have," end quote. The Spartans now have, count them, six big men eligible to play next year. That was a problem this past season. Now it's a problem as to where those minutes and where that time is going to go now between, yes, six big men. A good problem to have for Coach Izzo. Moving on.
the Michigan State women's golf team leads the NCAA Athens Regional out in Georgia after shooting an opening round of 4 under par, a 284 at the University of Georgia golf course on Monday. The Spartans were the only school in the 18-team regional to shoot under par on Monday at the par 72, 6,334-yard course. MSU is 5 strokes ahead of the nation's second-ranked team, that being Alabama, which shot a 1 over par 289. The 284 marks the Spartans' second lowest round ever at an NCAA regional, just 1 stroke shy of the 283 put up by Michigan State in the third round of the 2012 NCAA East Regional. We wish, of course, Stacey Sobotnik-Stoll and her squad good luck as that round continues. In the regular season finale, with big implications for both teams, Michigan State softball posted an 8-0 road dub at Indiana on Monday afternoon to complete the Big Ten regular season. Lexi White homered twice, and Kelly Zachrickson had a double and 3 RBIs after entering the game in the fourth as a pinch hitter. The Spartans in the regular season, 29-21, 11-12 in the Big Ten Conference, securing the number 7 seed in the upcoming Big Ten tournament, which will take place on Thursday out in A Square, that being Ann Arbor. Now, the Spartans will take on a familiar foe, as Indiana is the number 10 seed. Both of them will play on Thursday out in Ann Arbor. The winner of the 7-10 matchup advances to play number 2 seed and host the Michigan Wolverines. 4:30 p.m. on Friday at Alumni Stadium. We will be following the team throughout that run. And on tomorrow's Current Sports, it's going to be a loaded one. We have an interesting feature coming from our very own Scott Pohl. But we are also working on things to try and get is the key word, because they will be actually underway when it comes to practice. But we hope to get either Jessica Bograkis, who does color commentating for the Michigan State softball team, or Matt Chapkis, who is the play-by-play guy for the softball team. So one of those two will join us on the air tomorrow around 1:40 p.m. to preview the Big Ten tournament, and we will also have Scott's feature as well. So a loaded show tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Former MSU wide receiver great Plaxico Burress, who played 11 full seasons in the NFL, he penned a letter to the 2017 NFL draft class, a letter that was very honest and in your face, pulling from experiences from his playing career. Throughout the letter, he talked about what it was like to be a millionaire and then lose it all because of one mistake. You guys remember that mistake. He went from the number 8 pick in 2000 to an inmate after shooting himself in the leg in New York City 8 years later. We'll talk about that article. I thought it was my favorite Players Tribune article that I've read. Plaxico did a great job with it. Again, very honest. Revealed a lot about himself in that article. Last week, Tulane announced it was going to team up with the University of Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh and his staff for a June 9th camp out in NOLA, New Orleans. However, on Monday, Tulane revealed it will pair with, LSU instead for a camp on June 16th. And NOLA.com actually reported that and basically said, Michigan, you're done. You're out of here. The report cancellation of the camp with Tulane leaves Michigan with 8 camps that have been reported so far. In my estimation, when it comes to this story, folks, this was definitely a power trip, to say the least. I'll elaborate on that in just a moment, all right? You don't want to miss that conversation. Former Michigan running back Kingston Davis, who announced in March that he would leave the Wolverines after his true freshman season, he will transfer to Independence Community College out in Kansas. His Twitter account, announced the news, and Independence Community College retweeted it. The Twitter account, I should say, of JUCO Football ACE. I don't know if that's his official Twitter account. A former 3-star prospect from Prattville High School in Alabama, Davis, 6'1", 245 pounds. He was an early enrollee in Michigan's 2016 class. He appeared in just 2 games last year, rushing for just 17 yards on 2 carries in a season-opening win over Hawaii, and spent most of the season injured. So we saw this transfer coming, right? Wishing him luck, though. I think he still is a great talent. We'll see how he does with JUCO ball. All right, the Collegiate Commissioners Association on Monday voted to enact an early college football signing period, which is effective for the 2018 class and will last from December 20th to the 22nd this year. It coincides with the first 3 days of the mid-year junior college transfer national letter of intent period. Recruits were previously prevented from signing a national letter of intent until the first Wednesday in February of their senior year. However, some could complete high school in the winter, enroll early in college, and arrive on campus in January. How about that? The February signing date will remain in place, but the early period will give colleges a chance to ink recruits much earlier. We'll have more on that story as well. After coming off a heartbreaking series loss to the Oakland A's over the weekend, the Detroit Tigers will get back at it tonight in AZ. The D-backs are set to host another American League Central foe as the Tigers come to Chase Field for a two-game set beginning tonight. Arizona swept the Cleveland Indians during the opening weekend of the season, while Detroit has yet to play a National League opponent in 2017. Last year, the Tigers went 13-7 in interleague play. It will be former Tiger Robbie Ray versus Justin Verlander tonight. Ray made his MLB debut with the Tigers back in 2014 before he was shipped to Arizona in December of that year as part of a three-team deal that also included the New York Yankees. As far as the closer situation, yeah, we're still not sure if Justin Wilson will be the late-inning guy tonight, considering what took place over the weekend with Francisco Rodriguez. That'll be interesting to see and watch as tonight's game rolls along. Well, as this show rolls along, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to comment on any of those or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, again, we are asking a lot of questions on today's show that we encourage you all to chime in. We'll start by talking about the MSU men's basketball team and the get for Ben Carter. What do you think of that? And we will also talk about Michigan losing out in NOLA for a satellite camp. And I want to talk to the parents out there as well as we invite Eric Woodyer to the show around the 1:30 mark, sports reporter for the Flint Journal and MLive.com, addressing the Flint Community Schools athletics merger. Why, oh, why aren't kids participating in youth sports like they once did? What are your thoughts, parents? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show.
I felt ready to go. My body was feeling good, and unfortunately, I made a play and went to block a shot. Came down in an awkward position, and hurt my knee again. It was something that when it happened, it kind of happened, and I knew it happened, which was really unfortunate for me after working so hard and spending hours and hours and hours to prepare myself for this season to just have to go through that again. Is a very difficult time for me when you go through certain injuries like that that take you away from something that you love. You go through different mental battles, you go through different struggles. It was very difficult on me the first month and a half after I got hurt, but it's a testament to the type of program Coach Izzo has here, because everyone really embraced me as a teammate and a part of this family. Even though they knew my season was over, I wasn't able to contribute to the team this year, they still treated me as part of the team and a part of the family. And for that, you know, I'm forever grateful for these guys and Coach Izzo and his staff.
And that is how we start this Tuesday afternoon version of Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. It is a BEA beautiful day in mid-Michigan. Supposed to be in the 60s today. Not a cloud in the sky. The sky is blue. Sun is out. Birds are chirping. Grass is green. Oh, great day, and we are so honored you allowed us to be a part of it. We've got a great show in store for you guys. Again, if you want to be a part of it, we encourage you all out there to join the fun each and every weekday. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, and we begin with Ben Carter. You just heard his voice, that coming courtesy of Spartan Basketball, the YouTube page, in which, you know, I really find it so intriguing when I tune in throughout the MSU men's basketball year, is the video team for Spartan Athletics is unbelievable there. They do a great job, and, you know, they put together these video series that are released on Fox Sports Detroit, and you can rewatch them on YouTube, right? So immediately when I heard of the news concerning Ben Carter returning for a sixth year of eligibility, and I went back and I'm prepping for today's show, and I'm like, you know, I got to get a bite talking about, you know, or Ben addressing the whole injury that he sustained before this past year even got underway. And I knew that there would be a bite addressing it. And lo and behold, as I'm doing some research, boom, it pops up, right? And you have Ben, first off, addressing his background and his decision to transfer to Michigan State. He has such an intriguing background, folks. He was born in 1994 in Tel Aviv, Israel. That's intriguing enough, right? Oh, my goodness. And he actually has dual citizenship out in Israel and here, of course, in the United States of America. He is the son of Mike and Hadar Carter. He earned his bachelor's degree in public administration from UNLV in August of last year, and he is currently pursuing a master's in kinesiology with a sports administration concentration here at Michigan State University. This dude is pretty bright. Smart guy, and so down to earth. And, you know, what was amazing to me when watching this past MSU men's basketball year was, in lieu of all of the injuries, right, that this team sustained, Gavin Schilling going down, right? Then you had Ben Carter, again, being injured before the season ever got underway. Aaron Harris goes down on the road in that horrific knee injury. But what's so amazing is just how close-knit all of these players are. That's what really amazed me. And especially for a guy like Ben Carter, it's not like Ben was a part of this team last year, right? This is a transfer coming from UNLV, a transfer who gets injured before even able to play one game with the squad. Yet, you saw every member of that Michigan State men's basketball team fully embrace Ben Carter like he was family. And, of course, that was pioneered from the leaders on the team, guys like Tum Tum Nearing Jr. It's funny because in that snippet that I pulled to start today's show, you see Tum rallying the troops like he always does. He is clearly the vocal and emotional leader of the Michigan State men's basketball team. And you just see everybody interacting with Ben like he's family, like he's been there forever. And now for Tom Izzo. And I have an interesting question to pose to all of you MSU men's basketball fans out there, because now it's just silly, right? This is just silly now. Michigan State men's basketball has a true embarrassment of riches. There is no reason why this team should not be in that number when you talk about competing for a national championship. The time is now.
Tom Izzo knows that. The time is now, because this is arguably the best lineup from top to bottom on an MSU men's basketball roster since 17 years ago when Michigan State won a national championship in the RCA Dome out in Indianapolis, Indiana. From when you evaluate this roster from top to bottom, and it was jump-started with, of course, the news not too long ago in which Miles Bridges announced in front of Spartan Stadium on this great campus of Michigan State University that he was coming back for a sophomore campaign. The energy that I felt in front of that Spartan statue from you guys, Spartan fans, I mean, it gave me goosebumps at times. Especially when Miles went up there and sat next to Tom Izzo and his family, his mom and pops and his sister, and said, "Yes, I'm coming back." The reaction that you guys had once Miles announced that, oh, it's going to be a special year, I think, for Michigan State men's basketball next season. But again, you know, I turned the clock back to, what, two seasons ago when, yeah, Michigan State was a favorite, actually the favorite, according to the Las Vegas books, to go all the way and win a national championship. And we all saw what happened in the very first game against Middle Tennessee State University. I just wanted to bring it up because, again, yes, the hype is certainly real concerning this team. But at the same time, it is college hoops, and anything can happen in March. But it's been 17 years. I mean, that's crazy to think about, right? And every time I talk with Tom Izzo, you know, I did a sit down with Coach Izzo before last season began, or I should say before they got into the Big Ten schedule, and just asked Tom about what drives him, right? What keeps him coming back? What has kept him here all of these years and allowed him to stay rather than take his talents to the National Basketball Association? And he is chasing another national championship. He is not shy in letting that be known. I feel like every Midnight Madness, right, at the Breslin, he lets that be known. It is time to get to work. It is time to raise another banner. No, not a Big Ten championship banner. No, not a Big Ten tournament championship banner. No, not even another Final Four banner. It is time to raise a national championship banner. And now Michigan State returning a large chunk of its roster from last season, led by Miles Bridges. You also have, you know, Nick Ward coming back for a sophomore campaign. Nick Ward was like a flower last year, right? We really saw him blossom game after game after game. Excited to see where Nick now elevates his game to. Cassius Winston, who Tom Izzo went on record to say he's probably going to be the best passer here at Michigan State since Magic Johnson, right? Josh Langford. On top of that, you get Matt McQuaid. You get Tum Tum Nearing. Kenny Goins. Kyle Ahrens, all return along with the entrance of McDonald's All-American Jaren Jackson Jr. and four-star recruit Xavier Tillman. Wow, right? That is one heck of a roster. And especially, just to piggyback off my point about Miles Bridges, it is not often that you see a kid with the talent of Miles Bridges, a kid who, when you evaluate NBA draft boards from here to nowhere, you saw a lot of people projecting that Miles Bridges could be a lottery pick. Guaranteed millions possibly on the table for Miles Bridges. It is rare when you see a kid of his talent say, I'm enjoying college. I love the college experience. I love this team. I love my coach. I love this school. I love the students. I want to come back for another year. That is rare air. You never see that, folks. And I feel like, you know, Tom knows this now, especially when getting this news that Ben Carter now comes back, and now Michigan State has six big men to try and juggle. Three centers in Nick Ward, Gavin Schilling, and also incoming freshie Xavier Tillman. Then you add that to the mix of three power forwards with incoming freshman Jaren Jackson Jr. Add that to Ben Carter and Kenny Goins. That is six big men. At one point, you had Miles Bridges running the center in a few of those games this year, right? And now you have six big men. That's incredible, right? The time is now. The window is wide open now for Tom Izzo and his squad. There are no more excuses. Youth and injury go out the window. And I believe that Tom Izzo knows how precious this year is. And I'm excited just to attend a few MSU men's basketball practices this year, because you better believe that Tom Izzo is going to push this team. He knows the amount of talent he has this season, and he is going to push this team to the brink to make sure that they are in that conversation of winning a national championship. What are your thoughts, though? How quick do you think the window is closing? Because it's wide open right now. The breeze is flowing in right now. The birds are chirping. You can see the sun shining from that window. It's time to win the championship, Isaac. Tom Izzo knows that, and I think he's even going to take, I don't even think it could go up another level, but he's going to take that intensity to another level when evaluating this roster. Exciting times if you are an MSU men's basketball fan.
And everybody knows that the window is closing and the time is expiring when it comes to Miles Bridges, but let's not forget who else is on this roster, too. Last year, you had two different five-stars signed with you, and then two four-stars. You had Nick Ward, Cassius Winston, then you had Josh Langford, a five-star, and of course, Miles Bridges. This year, you got Jaren Jackson Jr., and who knows, there might even be another guy on the way, but you also have Xavier Tillman, a four-star, coming in. This team is just bursting at the seams with talent. Like you said, though, that window is expiring, because you do lose a little bit of senior leadership next year, for one. But more so, you might lose Josh Langford. Let's be honest. I mean, you might lose a guy like Nick Ward. It's not to say that these guys won't stay for longer, but next year is the year for this team. Next year is when it all culminates. It all comes together, because now you have senior leadership. Gavin Schilling, do not forget, is returning. That's a big name in the front court for MSU. He can provide defense. Ben Carter, at the very least, a little bit of leadership. But
I haven't seen much of Ben Carter. I want to put that out there as well. I haven't seen much, if not any, of Ben Carter. I've seen a few plays of him back in college, and I know his former coach talked about how versatile he is. You hear this a lot when people talk about Ben Carter. He's very, very tough. You got to be tough to play for Michigan State, right? He's very tough. He's willing to throw his body around up in the paint, and he makes good decisions with the basketball down low. So I'm excited. I'm curious to see how those minutes disperse between those six big men. That is going to be a big challenge for Tom Izzo.
Well, and what will I say as a caveat to Ben Carter coming back to MSU is the quote of Tom Izzo. And Tom Izzo essentially said, I'm paraphrasing him, but that after two knee injuries. Hopefully Ben Carter can contribute a little bit on the court and a lot off the court. That's a reserved comment in my mind. He's not expecting Ben Carter to come back, make the difference, set the world on fire. He's expecting Ben Carter to hopefully come back, give a few solid minutes. But the thing is, this might not even be the same guy who first joined MSU. He is coming off two serious injuries. Mm-hmm. All things considered, however, is this still a big plus for the program? Yes. Again, I mentioned, just in terms of leadership, now you have, again, Tum-Tum Nairn, you've got Gavin Schilling and Ben Carter, all with significant playing experience, as well as guys who can come in and mentor the youngins on this program.
Let's go to line one right now. I know we got a caller, Kirk from Grand Ledge, that wants to weigh in. Kirk, what's up, my man?
Hey, y'all. First of all, before I talk about the whole injury thing, if everyone's able to stay healthy, and people tend to forget that, you know, last year Langford got hurt in practice preseason, and McQuaid was coming off hernia surgery over the summer, so he wasn't able to improve, and of course we know Schilling and Carter. But if everybody stays healthy over the summer to where they can all improve their games individually, and if they stay healthy during the course of the season, the games I want to see are practice, because that might be the toughest competition Michigan State sees in the majority of their games.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing those guys go at it in practice. It's always fun when Tom allows us media members to sit in on practice. Now, of course, we can't report on what we see. It's kind of a really cool behind-the-scenes look. But, yeah, it's always fun to see these guys go at it in practice, especially next season when you evaluate the talent.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, if all those big guys in the front can stay healthy, I think, and I don't know him personally, although I noticed it watching him play in high school, that he certainly is a team player, but I think Xavier Tillman would be a candidate for a redshirt. He could certainly come in and help and give you some minutes now, coming off the bench and stuff. But, you know, if it's a matter of him playing 5 to 7 minutes a game versus redshirting and developing further in his game, I think he'd be wise to redshirt.
And that's the thing. You know, I read an article this morning. Graham Couch put out a piece that talked about the dilemma of having six big men, right? And he kind of kicked the idea around in one of the grabs whether or not Xavier Tillman would redshirt, right? And Graham basically said, you know, the kid is so talented. And, you know, if you look at Xavier's body right now, he's college ready. He's ready to get in there and throw some bodies around in the paint. I think that he's so talented right now. And I think the time sees that this kid can come in immediately and give you some good buckets. I don't know if that'll be the case, but it certainly is an idea to play with when you consider the fact that you do have six big bodies.
Right. And to me, the thing for Xavier, and, you know, I watched him in the quarterfinals. I watched him in the semifinals. I watched him in the finals. You know, my wife's family has connections to Grand Rapids Christian. So, you know, I hear little pieces about him and stuff. You know, I know all year he has worked on trying to develop a face-up game and handling the ball better, but it's not there yet. From what I saw, you know, watching those games, it's not there yet.
And I tell you what, and I watched those games at the Breslin too, Kirk, and I was saying, in Xavier's defense, they did throw a lot of bodies at him. I mean, he was double-teamed a lot, and he had to give up the ball a lot, and he had to create for other players. So that's what kind of, you know, when I was looking at him, I'm like, man, I really can't really see what this kid can do because every time he gets to basketball, they're throwing like three jerseys at him, so which I don't think will be the case once he comes in college. So I really haven't seen Xavier like that, probably not even more so than you.
Right. But, you know, the other thing is that when you have a plethora of riches, you know, from watching the NBA, the coaching issue becomes how to deal with the egos, how to get people playing time, keep them all happy. But I'm just kind of excited, and I hope over the course of the summer everyone stays healthy and everyone can work on their games. You know, you got Aarons who showed flashes. Well, he's 2 years after coming off a broken leg and had to play the four. You know, well, he'll get to slide back and play a wing position, which is where he was recruited to play in the first place. You know, Bridges will definitely be able to play on the wing. All these other different shifts around now that Ben Carter's got extra time. But, you know, the one thing that scares me is how healthy is that knee? You know, I'm just worried that three games in, he's going to be out again. Because two knee injuries to the same knee, it's kind of scary.
That is a legit concern. Kirk, thanks so much for your call. Appreciate it.
Take care, Al.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Flint Town's own Eric Woodyard, sports reporter for the Flint Journal on MLive.com. Eric will talk about a new Flint Community Schools athletics merger. What has led to this? That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up segment A by addressing Ben Carter, ruled eligible for a sixth year by the NCAA, and this team from Michigan State next season is going to be absolutely stacked. Oh, man, I can't wait for next season. I wish they could just play the year right now. What is cool, though, is we get to see a lot of these players right here in Michigan, out in Diamonddale, Michigan, at the Aim High Sports Complex, as Desmond Ferguson puts on and pioneers the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am, where it's, you know, not a lot of defense is being played. It's summer league ball, so players aren't out there trying to injure one another. But at the same time, you get to see, and you get to see how some of these players for MSU men's basketball, as well as other colleges across this great state, and even some pro players in the NBA and internationally, they come over and play in it, and you get to see what exactly certain players are working on throughout the summer and how their conditioning is coming along. Have they gained weight? Have they lost weight? Have they put on muscle? Have they had way too many cheeseburgers? I love watching these players in the summertime, Isaac, because you just get to see just how their form looks on the eve of yet another basketball year. It's one of my favorite events.
And like you said, nobody's going out there to try to injure somebody, but you do get to see the player's personality.
Yeah,
Nick Ward,
yeah.
We saw him get into it with countless guys last summer because he bangs in the post.
Well, remember,
he likes throwing a few elbows, talking a little trash.
Yeah, exactly. Remember Nick going at Jabari Parker? Were you there for that game?
Oh, yeah.
I love watching that. You know, Jabari Parker, who had a great year, by the way, with the Milwaukee Bucks this past season. Watching an NBA guy like Jabari Parker go against an incoming freshman like Nick Ward, those are moments that you don't normally get when watching your local basketball action, right? So I think it's very, very cool that they hold that every single year. And mad props to Desmond Ferguson. I hope to have him on the show at some point throughout the summer on the eve of the start of the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am. A few comments to get to before we bring on our guest for today's Current Sports. Ben Grimes comments via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. He says, quote, the sky is the limit for this year's upcoming MSU men's basketball team. Our time is here. Our time is now. As the theme song to John Cena goes, no excuses. I like that. I've never heard John Cena's theme. I stopped watching professional wrestling back in like the early 2000s, but now I may have to check it out, Ben. Thank you for that comment. And also Steven DeVitri says, Ben Carter, please stay healthy. And I think that is a big hallmark. That kind of course, alludes to the phone call that we got from Kurt from Grand Ledge. Health is top priority when it comes to this squad next season. If everybody is healthy, watch out, college basketball world. Michigan State is going to be pretty, pretty good. So knock on wood from here until the beginning of the year, what I believe in like November, right? And also, the last point from Ben Grimes, no excuses, right? And that's another question I want to pose to our listeners out there, because Tom Izzo wants another national championship, right? He wants number two. It has been 17 years, which I can't believe. It's been 17 years since the glory days of my team, Cleves, Mo Pete and company, right? If Michigan State doesn't get it done this upcoming season, should we start evaluating whether or not Tom Izzo has kind of lost his touch? Is that a legit question to ask, Isaac? Can I ask that without... Okay, yeah, you're throwing the
laughter. That's my answer.
But can I ask that without getting jumped by Spartan fans? If Michigan State does not get it done for an 18th straight season, should we start evaluating some things here when it comes to Tom Izzo?
I think no excuses is a BS mantra, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think there's always some sort of excuse, a reasoning behind it.
At some point.
With Tom Izzo, though, what's been happening, and I'll make it brief, but he's been gaining steam on the recruiting trail these last couple years. I think it makes sense for him to start to settle into the one-and-done era, and if he can do that, what I see on the court, the product I see on the court in practices is not bettered by any coach in college basketball. I don't see any reason why this team wouldn't win a championship in the near future. But to suddenly draw up an ultimatum for Tom Izzo, I think that's ridiculous.
And I have to agree with you. Tom Izzo was a Hall of Fame coach for a reason. But you are going to have the on-the-surface college hoop fans out there, the on-the-surface
Agreed.
Spartan basketball fans out there, that if they don't get it done for an 18th straight year, Isaac, they are going to want to be saying, maybe Tom isn't the guy. I disagree with it, but you are going to have a lot of fans out there throwing that out there. I'm just saying. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Let's talk about the Flint Community Schools Athletics merger. Flint Community Schools have agreed to combine the Northwestern and Southwestern High School athletic programs starting this upcoming fall. The decision was announced at a Board of Education meeting last month. To talk about that and more, we now welcome to the show Eric Woodyard, sports reporter for the Flint Journal and MLive.com. Eric, what's up, my man?
What's up, man? How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm blessed. Always good hearing your voice, dude. Thanks so much for taking some time this afternoon to join us here on the air. I want to dive right into this. Eric, how long have these merger talks been in play?
Man, it's honestly, I've been hearing about it for, about at least a year. I mean, off the record, you know, from coaches and stuff like that, you know, just about something possibly happening. So I have been hearing about it for, just for so long. And the Flint Community Schools wouldn't say nothing about it. They was, like, remaining tight-lipped, even though, like, so many coaches and pretty much everybody in the community knew what was happening. They just was remaining real tight-lipped on the situation. And, I mean, they just announced it randomly at a board meeting, so it was crazy.
Now, Eric, is this the first merger that you can recall when it comes to Flint schools, athletic programs?
Yeah, this is the first one. It was four city schools. It was Flint Central, Northwestern, Southwestern, and Northern. And they closed down Northern. They closed down Central. Well, Central was the first to close, then Northern. And then you could just see the talent level, man, just dropping down. You know, and then when we would have a kid that would be spectacular, either they would go to the outskirts schools as far as like Carmen or Grand Blanc or something like that, or they would just transfer to a prep school like Miles Bridges, you know, like, so it was tough to keep a kid because, you know, because of that environment, I mean, the inner city environment, you know, a lot of parents didn't feel their kids were safe there. And then just, like I said, the talent level was just dropping. You know, you can't even keep a coach around barely longer than a year or two. So it was no stability within the programs.
Wow. And I want to elaborate on that more. But I want to talk about just the logistics of this move. What logistics have to still be ironed out, Eric? New mascot, team colors, maybe a different name. Yeah. What else is in play here?
Well, yeah, they still got to iron out the mascot. They're going to lead it at the student government. So the student government from Southwestern and Northwestern, they're going to get together to nominate ideas, and then they're ultimately going to decide on one. They haven't gave us no timetable on that, which they haven't really been giving us a timetable on anything. And they're dropping all the former ties to all the former city schools, so they're using black and teal now. I mean, I'm a graduate of Southwestern in 2006. Let me put that out there. So our school colors was blue and gold. So I mean, it's kind of cool that they're dropping that, but it's gonna take some getting used to. I mean, teal. I mean, I'm not a real big fan of it, but I mean,
right?
I mean, it'll grow on everybody eventually. I'm pretty sure.
And for you, what's the community reaction been like with a move like this, especially for you, Eric? I mean, not only are you a reporter, but you're from Flint. You're a Southwestern grad. What's the emotion like from the community when hearing a move like this being made?
I think it was 50-50. I mean, it was really tough. The toughest was when Central closed and then when Northern closed. I mean, because Northern was arguably they arguably had the richest tradition as far as, like, all sports. So that's, like, where Mateen went and all that. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of more of a shocker. I think now it was a matter of when it was going to happen. I mean, some people, you know, they're mostly attached to their schools, but I mean, we was just not competing, not on a statewide level, you know. And it's like, you know, people just more so want to get back to seeing competitive sports and all, you know, all across the board, not just the main sports, but, you know, all across the board, man, we were having competitive teams through the year. So it was more so sad to see that. But I think it was more of a shocker when Northern and Central closed. Now it was just a matter of when it was going to happen. So,
now, Eric, when you evaluate, because you mentioned how some of the big-time talent in Flint, you know, with schools closing down and you look at the crime that's in Flint, of course, the big storyline with the Flint water crisis, there have been a lot of negative storylines surrounding around the community. And like you mentioned, it's allowed talent to go to elsewhere, to go to some of the outskirts schools like a Grand Blanc or like Miles Bridges did, go to a prep school. What differences have you noticed other than the merger athletics trying to make? What changes have you seen those in charge trying to make in order to keep that talent, hone that talent, and just to put Flint back on the map? And are those techniques working, if so?
I think they're starting it now. Now they just hired a former NFL player, Chris Wilson. He's played for the Redskins. And one of the things that he's going to do to bring the talent back is start on the elementary school level. They're putting community school directors back into the elementary schools. And, you know, starting off with the football programs and all the other sports programs at an early age, that was something that was not being done the last few years. So you get kids by the time they get to high school and they don't know what's going on because they're not prepared. So, I mean, Chris is spearheading that on the football end. He's putting the program, you know, as early as elementary. So, you know, all through the ladder, they'll already know what to expect. They can interact with high school players. And, you know, it's just going to be – I think it's moving in a positive direction with this merger. The only thing that I'm really concerned about now is that it's still going to be two different schools. So, I mean, they're calling it North Campus and they're calling it South Campus. So you're still going to have two schools that's open and they're just one sports team, which is, I don't know how that's going to work.
Wow.
You know, and they said they're going to have a bus that's taking them back and forth, but it just seemed like it's going to be really, really inconvenient. And it's a lot of stuff that need to be ironed out. And I feel like just the timing of the whole ordeal was really, really late. They should have put that out there a lot earlier, you know, so people would have more time to prepare. I mean, everybody was speculating what was going to happen, but it wasn't official until, you know, just a month or two ago. So,
right.
You know, still kind of just scrambling and getting everything together. And, I mean, I don't know how you're going to have two different schools, one athletic program. You know, some sports is going to be housed at one school. Some are going to be at the other one. So it's going to be, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's going to be a lot of chaos until everything get ironed out. And I don't feel like everything was properly planned in advance to make this thing really work. But I think you got some people that's committed. You're getting some inner city people that really know the area and that really care. So, I mean, eventually it will work, but it's going to take a little time.
Yeah, I must say I agree with you, Eric, because it seems like, you know, just as you said, like they just announced a press conference and a press release came out of nowhere, not really giving the community a heads up. And when you talk about the location of both Northwestern and Southwestern, I mean, how many miles apart are those two schools, Eric?
It's probably maybe like 3 to 5.
Okay, 3 to 5 miles. So you need some transportation to get to both schools, right?
Yeah, you can't walk there. definitely not a walk.
Wow. Folks, what do you think about this? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In just a moment, Eric, I want to bring on one of our callers, Mike from Saginaw, who has a question and wants to chime in on the conversation. But before I do that, I want to ask, you know, just the overall, you know, umbrella conversation concerning youth sports. Why do you believe youth sports participation has been declining for quite some time now?
Man, that's a tough question. I think really just the interest. We got to do something to keep this interest up, you know, and just not having people that's committed. I mean, starting early, you know, you got to have people within the schools, like I mentioned earlier, like a community school director, to give people an outlet starting at an early age, you know, and then you get people going away, drifting off. But I think youth sports, really, you need those people that on a grassroots level, you know, at the lower level, to really introduce these kids to the sports the correct way. I think that's really what's really missing. And it just, you know, the interest is not there because you don't have somebody that's passionate in their face. This is why you should play sports. This is discipline. You know, teaching them all the different things that sports mean to your life. You know, if you ever play sports, you understand. You learn so many life lessons through the game, you know, being on time. You know, just so much stuff that's just fundamental parts of your life. And I feel like that has to start as early as elementary school. And that's kind of why I feel like it's declining, because it's not enough people that want to work with kids that are not just the elite ones. You got to work with the other kids as well, too. I mean, you got all these coaches that want to work with who's going to be the next Miles Bridges or who's going to be this and that. But let's worry about the other people, too, as well. And, I mean, I feel like people don't want to work with the kids on that level if they don't feel like they can be elite, you know, but that's kind of what I feel like it is.
That is such a good point. I never thought about that point, Isaac, because, yeah, you see, you know, the super talented kids, they get all the attention, right? I mean, those who are really gifted. But what about the kid who just, you know, he may not be the most athletically gifted kid out there. He'll probably go in a basketball game, give you a good 2 to 3 points per game, but he's just happy to be playing and off the streets, not involved with some other mess, right?
Well, and the fact about academics and athletics is they're correlated. You always hear that stat when people recruit kids and students to participate in athletics. It's that, oh, kids who participate in athletics have higher GPAs. The reason for that is because you do get more attention just from the school in general. So if that's not there, then that is a fault.
So true. So a lot of this, Eric, a lot of this, if not all, falls on the parents, right?
No, I don't think so. I think it's the community as well, man. We got to really embrace these kids, because some parents don't know. I mean, that's just the honest to God truth. I mean, some parents, they don't know what's going on. They don't know what to put kids into. I mean, and a lot of times the after-school activities aren't even marketed to the kids. So it's just a I think they need to do a better job of that. Not only just in Flint, just, you know, a lot of inner city rural areas.
Good point. All right, let's get to one of our callers here. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to chime in. Mike, what's up, dude?
How you doing there, Elmer? Now, thanks for taking my call. Eric, this is a good question. We facing the same problems like we doing, like y'all in Flint doing it up in Saginaw, too, because they was talking about closing Saginaw High down, but they eventually said they're going to academically help the kids. What I'm talking about, I know the football program in the fall is everything, but I noticed the Flint schools, and also up in Saginaw, too, haven't been so popular and everything. And I just want to know, is football is the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, or is just the other sports, too? Because I'm looking at spring sports also. I go watch the softball and the baseball teams in the city, and, I mean, these kids don't have no instinct or never. They just start playing baseball like they started in middle school. I mean, I'm just taken back by it. I know that Major League Baseball came to Flint, and they said they're going to start an academy or something for these kids and everything. I'd like to hear also, man, if you got time to answer, what you think about the guy from Utah, Eric Kurtzman, going pro, man. So I take it off there. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike. That's a lot to digest, Eric. Take your time.
Oh, no, man. You know, getting back to that point, you know, as far as with, you know, just getting the kids prepared, that was kind of what I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a lot of preparation, you know, and I'm happy that the Major League Baseball did come here and say that, but I mean, there's going to be a difference between saying that and doing that. So we're going to see what they want to put in place. This was a conversation I held with another Flint legend named Jim Abbott. You know, I don't know if y'all heard Jim Abbott. He was a one-handed pitcher.
Oh, I never heard him. Okay.
Yeah, he was a one-handed pitcher, man. Went to, you know, came out of Flint. And made it to the MLB.
Wow.
And I talked to him, and I was asking him, you know, why do you feel like inner-city baseball is falling off? And he was just saying, because baseball is one of those sports that you can't just pick up like a basketball. You got to have people that's really committed, kind of what I was explaining earlier, committed to just, you know, investing in these kids, investing time in them. So that's really the problem. I feel like it's just putting people in place, putting the right people in place, putting community leaders in place to really lead these kids starting really, really young. So. And I think he said Kyle Kuzma from Utah. You know, he just declared for the NBA draft. I think it was a solid decision. He was coming off an All Pac-12 season. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, he's probably going to go late second round, but he got the size. He's about 6'9". He's about 6'9". He was invited to the NBA combine. So I feel like he left at the right time, because when you come back, we all know that the scouts is going to pick your game apart. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens for him, and best of luck to him. I think he got a good chance to make a team somewhere.
Eric, final question before we get you out of here, my man. I don't think I've ever asked you this, but when it comes to the Flint water crisis, how, if at all, has that affected youth sports in Flint?
Man, youth sport. We're really just a practicing. I mean, if you ever go and see practices and stuff like that, like it's kind of sad. Like, I seen you at Burston Fieldhouse, like, before, mm-hmm. you know, when we came there, it was like, even to drink, you can't even go, like, to the water fountain to drink water. You know what I'm saying? They got to make sure that they have cold waters put out and this and that. So, you know, it's kind of affecting them in the sense that you have to go get, like, everything they do. Just imagine, like, whole football practices being ran where they have to have a whole bucket of water, like, cooler full of bottled water, instead of just going to just use the faucet like any regular kid. So
right.
I don't know if it's necessarily affected like them playing or anything, but it's affected just the way that they go about practicing and preparing for practices. And it's a hassle, you know what I mean? So that's really more of how it's affected. But I don't know as far as them participating or anything like that, I don't think it's affected them too much, because, I mean, we're still a sports-driven town. So everybody, that's kind of just a way of life here. And it's just really just keeping them in the inner city. Because most of the kids that do make it up out of here are inner-city kids. They just don't attend school here. So,
and as far as the status of the water crisis there, is the water safe to drink in most areas now, Eric?
No, it's still the same.
It's still the same.
Really,
wow.
Really nothing's changed. They are making attempts to start going around and digging up, you know, the pipes and trying to do some houses. But, I mean, you know, it's definitely not close to even being done. And the problem is just the pipes. I mean, we're back to secure water, but it's how it's the pipes that they have to go through to get to your house. So that's the issue, is, you know, making sure it's clear to get to your house. Yeah, they can say it's safe before obviously before it hits all the dirty pipes and landfill pipes, you know,
yeah.
I'll drink that water too, you know, but that's not the case. It's by the time it goes through all the different, you know, water systems that get to your house, then it's a problem. So, yeah, man, it's still going on here. We're still fighting for it. Next month, they're going to be having Snoop Dogg and Mo Petey's going to be doing the celebrity basketball game again. So they just, people still trying to keep it at the forefront of things, but it's really sad, man. It's still something that's going on here.
Don't forget, folks, get involved. Get involved. Flint still needs help, folks. Eric Woodyard of the Flint Journal on MLive.com. Eric, it has been a pleasure chatting with you, brother.
No problem, man. Anytime, man. Anytime. Keep up the good work.
Hey, I'm trying to be like you, dude. All right, Eric. Take care.
All right, man. You too.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports. Don't go anywhere.
See, I'm zoning now. Well, all right. Well, okay. Well, all right. Well, okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, all right.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. If you just now tuned in, shame on you. You just missed a great chat with Eric Woodyard, sports reporter for the Flint Journal on MLive.com, as we attack the subject of the lack of youth participation in organized sports today, as well as the Flint Community Schools athletics merger between Northwestern and Southwestern High School. If you missed that chat, you guys know that you can listen to the podcast version of each and every Current Sports. We usually post it around 3 o'clock on WKAR.org. On tomorrow's Current Sports, we're definitely going to get to this, Isaac. Jim Harbaugh losing out on NOLA. I know you got a few thoughts on that. We'll tackle that. And we will also talk about the Plaxico Burress letter to NFL draftees. It was one of my favorite Players Tribune articles, probably my favorite that I've ever read. So we'll talk about that, as well as the early college football signing period being approved for late December. That and more. Tune in each and every weekday right here at 1 p.m. on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great afternoon and be easy, people.